Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. And now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Stephen Houghton. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. A very good morning. Welcome to our conference call on DSM's 2015 fourth quarter and full year results, which we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are both Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the Managing Board of DSM, and Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, our CFO and also a member of the Managing Board. They will elaborate on the results and after that are available to answer all your questions. Now, we have 30 minutes this morning. We started promptly, so that gives us till 8:30. And as a reminder, today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements. And in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on the website and also in our press releases. Now, without further ado, I'd like to hand the call over to Feike and Geraldine. Feike, please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the call, fourth quarter results, and ultimately also the full year results. And before we can start with the Q&A, briefly some points, and you can, by the way, read it also on the DSM Investor Relations app. Fourth quarter, we delivered an encouraging fourth quarter with both sales and EBITDA slightly ahead of expectations. Total sales in Q4 were up 6% to above 1.9 billion euro, and EBITDA was up 3% to 261 million euro. We also delivered strong operating cash flow of over 300 million, 313, which was supported by our efforts to reduce our working capital. Particularly pleased with the progress in nutrition, where both animal and human nutrition delivered strong organic growth in the fourth quarter. Animal nutrition even 9%, of which 7% volumes and 2% price and mix, with the premix business and the specialty products doing particularly well. Also in human nutrition, we had solid quarter in Q4, 5% organic growth, which was achieved against the backdrop of the ongoing weakness we see still in human nutrition in the US and Latin American markets. But human nutrition got back on the front foot and showed progress in the second half of the year. There were results, good results also in our performance materials, up 13%. Which continued our performance materials business to benefit from the improved margins thanks to our efficiency and cost-saving programs, which we ran over the last years, but also good margin management, amongst others, supported by low input prices and a little bit favorable currency mix. If you look back to the full year 2015, good progress in Q4, indeed closes solid results over the whole year 2015. Sales up 10% to 7.7 billion euro. Volumes accounted for 3% improvement. Strong growth in nutrition, while the overall price mix on average was down 2%. The lower input prices in materials played an important role there also, because lower input prices means also lower selling prices, although improved margins. The annual EBITDA for the company was up 4% to 1.075 billion euro. Nutrition full year EBITDA was down slightly, but a good organic growth and a positive impact for the dollar. But they were more than offset by the negative impact, as you know, of the vitamin E prices and the appreciation of the Swiss franc, and to be honest, also the weakening of the Brazilian reales. In our material business, EBITDA in total was up 90%, which is a good performance, good cost savings and margin management, as I already mentioned. In terms of cash flow, yeah, full year operating cash flow, 800 million compared with 663 last year. and our working capital as a percentage of sales was clearly down, which is good. Net profit for the year 2015 from continued operations, €381 million versus 409 and last year. And we propose to maintain the dividend at €1.65 per ordinary share. Before I move to the outlook, let me mention a few things of last year also. We made, of course, some decisive steps in our further strategic transformation of the company, especially with the creation of the joint venture or partnership with CVC in Chemical Invest with our remaining bulk activities. And that was an important step in further transforming the company. In the summer, we announced to implement some organizational changes in the company, creating a more focused, more agile, more cost-effective company with leveraging all our global support functions. And also we announced an improvement project in our nutrition business. In November, we updated our strategy for the years to come towards 2018. And we aim with this strategy to capture, in fact, the full potential of the portfolio we've created over the years and also made some important steps, as I mentioned, in 2015, by further improving our financial results. We have also, by the way, sharpened our sustainability approach and set more ambitious targets for our environmental performance. Now, for the outlook 2016, we believe that we will continue to make progress in both nutrition and materials, although, of course, the macroeconomic context remains challenging. But this progress will be underpinned, of course, by the significant so-called self-help programs we announced last year that will drive profitability and improve our results. As a result of this, in 2016, we aim to deliver an increased full-year EBITDA and an increased full-year ROCE in line with the targets set out in our strategy 2018, which was announced in our Capital Markets Days in November. And with that introduction, operator, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, for questions, you may press star 1. And the first question comes from the line of Mr. Bart Koster of Dow Jones.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the availability. I just have a quick question on the reduction of the working capital, especially in the fourth quarter. How did you manage to do that? Was that inventories or creditors, or can you elaborate a bit on that? And the second question is about divestments. You foresee any new developments on that subject? Thank you.
Okay, on the Geraldine will answer the question on working capital. On the divestments, no, we have made some major steps during the year in our polymer intermediates, caprolactam, ACN, and composite resins. And with that, we, let's say, completed our transformation process. There are always some smaller stuff, but big divestments, no, we do not have that on roll. We want now, like I said, to capture the full potential of the portfolio we've created, which is a specialty profile in nutrition and specialty profile in materials. That is what is on the roll the coming years, improve profitability, and the two big support programs in terms of cost reduction, working capital.
Okay.
Good morning. Working capital.
Morning.
Indeed, it's been a good quarter on our working capital. Now, to answer your question of how did we did that, it's a nice combination of all three elements. So we saw an improvement in the inventory as a percentage of sales. And as you know, our nutrition business is the one where improvement is the most required. So it was an encouraging trend, but we need to move further. We also saw our DSO come down by a couple of days, so that's helpful. And I have to say that there is a component of increased payables. So it's really all three elements, which means that we need to keep working to make it really structural. But it's heading in the right direction.
Okay. And maybe an additional question for you. Do you foresee for this year any financing or big refinancing projects to fulfill?
If you look at the maturities of our long-term borrowing,
mm-hmm.
we don't have
yeah.
any big milestones in 2016. In fact, the next refinancing will be in 2017. So from that perspective, 2016 will be quite a calm year.
Okay, so the first big refinancing will be in 2017.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mr. Ilko van Groningen of Bloomberg.
Hi, good morning. In your press release, you made several references to the low vitamin E price. I was wondering how that has developed since the start of this year, if you can say anything about that, because I think it has been sort of at a bottom for the past year, so maybe it has gone up a little bit already. And also, an analyst recently wrote in a report that he saw rises in vitamin A and B5 prices, and he penciled in a positive impact on your EBITDA of 85 million in total for 2016, those two combined, I think. So what do you see in vitamin A and B5? And I was wondering how omega-3s are doing in the U.S. Thank you.
Oh, all right, appreciate it. Vitamin E went down quite a bit in 2015, by the way, also in 14, as we reported almost every quarter, and this quarter again. And we don't see at this moment any improvements, and we do not anticipate on improvements either of the vitamin E prices. So it is substantially lower than it was before. Of course, in a comparison basis, the comparison will be easier because it went down in the year 2015. So in 16, if you make the comparison, then we will not have a lot of impact of vitamin E, most likely 16-15. But I would not do the opposite, saying that you see an increase of vitamin E, because we don't see that. Then you mentioned some of the other vitamins, A, B5. Yes, all the different vitamins, there's more than just those two or three. We have vitamin C, we have vitamin B2, we have vitamin D and all that stuff, and some are going up a little bit, some are going down. There are always some movements. You should be careful translating any of those movements immediately to our business, because those are spot prices, and those do not have to represent the long-term prices, where we do not operate so much on the spot market. So, and if you make a calculation that the vitamin price effect for next year would be a very positive one, I think on average I would say all the different vitamins, if I see all the different movements, I would keep it more flattish than see here that we see a positive on the pricing area. Omega 3 in the US is still not doing well. It's not picking up. Slight decline in the fourth quarter. So the U.S. market for Omega is not doing excellent, or it's the biggest market in the world, by the way, for Omegas, but in terms of growth, it's not doing very well. Outside the U.S., it's doing much better, to be honest, but the U.S. market is not recovering.
Okay, thank you. And then a different question. Nutrition was this quarter, the profit was higher than last year. I think that was the first quarter year on year in quite a while. How did you manage this turnaround? Can you give a little bit of color on that? And how many quarters do you know, just by the top of your head, has it been since DSM had a nutrition profit increase year on year?
Well, I think I need to look to Dave a little bit, but I think in 2014 we had profit increases.
No, we haven't. The first. This is the first one since 14.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Since 14, right? And the other three quarters, indeed, in 2015, we always had a lower operating profit in nutrition than the comparable quarter the year before, mainly driven by vitamin E and the Swiss franc. The same effects, by the way, are there also in Q4, not anything different. But what you saw in Q4 is that we got human nutrition back on the growth again. The growth in human nutrition in the other quarters was pretty bad, to be honest, not strong growth. So that's helping. And of course, we are looking to our cost programs, although most of those have to come in 2016 and 17. But we are working hard, so you see it also in our working capital and all those kinds of things, working hard to get nutrition back on its growth, volume growth, both human and animal. Also animal this quarter was very strong organic growth. Those are the factors helpful for this, indeed, finally a little bit improved result compared with the year before.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, before moving on to the next question, a reminder, you may still press star 1 for questions. Next question is from the line of Mr. Rutger Derksen of ANP.
Good morning. Mr. Sijbesma, I saw your comment on CNBC on the Chinese takeovers and partnerships. Could you give us a bit of color on that and tell us whether you see it as a threat or an opportunity?
Well, CNBC flagged that they saw ChemChina taking over Syngenta, and whether that is an exception or that they see a more pattern. And what I said is that you see in China a little bit of shift from a country fully focused on manufacturing to a country focused on manufacturing and innovation, and being very interested in technologies also from the West. And you see that China is interested to make partnerships, to do acquisitions in the West. Now, this Syngenta is an example for that. But also our own joint venture with Sinochem in the antibiotics biotech field is an example that the Chinese are interested to collaborate, to acquire, to joint venture, whatever, with Western companies and are not only looking to themselves. In general, I see that as a positive thing, because we are operating in a global world economy, and it's good that everybody is participating. China is obviously a very big player. So, that is good.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mr. Bart Koster of Dow Jones.
Yes, I assume mainly for performance materials that you see lower input costs going on. How does this translate to your pricing policy and the pricing demands from your customers?
Yeah, we saw that due to the drop of oil prices, all kinds of raw material prices dropped, and of course we benefit from that. Although, I need to say also, you saw that in the fourth quarter also now margin, that the end product prices drop also when the input prices are dropping, and you try to capture a little bit more margin for yourself, especially in the specialty products that is possible. Mm-hmm. And we see also over the year that our performance materials increased its margin. We said, however, that a part of the margin is due to our cost measures and specialty profile, etc. A part of that margin increase is coming a little bit from the benefit, which is not 100% sustainable, from this decreased raw material prices. And so in a normalized way, you can reduce a little bit the margin in a sustainable way. So we are now having a margin over the whole year for materials above 15%. Mm-hmm. If you would correct that in a normalized way, you maybe come to 14.5%. Although our own target is to move that again up by our own measures to again to this 15%.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mr. Elko van Groningen of Bloomberg.
Hi, I have two more questions. One related to the takeover with ChemChina Syngenta. I was wondering if it has any impact on your partnership with Syngenta. And my second question relates to a third point. Have you heard anything from them why they decided to reduce their basically options on shares, which was disclosed last week?
Okay.
Those two questions.
Well, a little bit for all in the call, because we get now the second question on Syngenta after a question of CNBC before we start to make news of no news. I'm not an expert on Syngenta, nor on ChemChina, nor on any of these topics. So I just answer politely all the questions, but just to put it a little bit in perspective. And our collaboration with Syngenta is a very small one in the bio-agri part. And I do not assume this will be influenced by this deal. And third point, indeed, they reduced the holdings in DSM from 3% to 2.66%. And that is all we know. And that is their announcement. So they decreased the holding in DSM.
There are no conversations going on with third point at all then? But they say anything to you?
We talk regularly with all investors, and obviously SharePoint is one of the companies invested in DSM. They participate also in capital markets events and those kind of things. So we provide information and communicate to all of them.
Okay, thank you.
For further questions, ladies and gentlemen, you may still press star 1. Star 1 for your questions. Next question is from the line of Mr. Bart Koster of Dow Jones.
Yes, I have a question on your own position, knowing that Tenkate is in the process of being taken over by private equity. Do you see any request from private equity or other parties to take over your performance material business?
No, I cannot even place the question, to be honest, because we just announced our strategy for the period to come to increase our profitability of the portfolio we've created. So we're very proud and happy of the specialty profile we created in materials and our nutrition business, and we are busy to grow both businesses.
Okay, so no approach of other parties to have a joint venture or take over for performance materials?
We are busy with our own action programs as laid out in the strategy which we communicated in November.
Okay, thank you.
Operator, if there are no more questions, then I think that we can draw the call slowly to a close.
Sir, we have one more question.
Okay.
Last question, I understand.
Yeah, we'll make this the last question then. Thank you.
Last question is from Mr. Andrew Knoll of Bloomberg.
Oh, hi. Yes, thanks for taking my questions and good morning, everyone. Just a quick one, just to check on the status of DPX and the IPO. Is with all that's going on in the markets, is that just off the table for now, or and just ticking along, or?
Well, as you know, we're very restricted as to what we can comment about when it comes to DPX. So the best thing there is we direct everyone to their own communication provided by the company.
Okay. And maybe if I can just follow up on the third point, Juan. I mean, how did you – I know you've given us sort of the stock answer in sort of reduce talking to all investors, but I'm just wondering how you feel about third point – you know, given that we all know what they're about, how you fit, what is the signal that you took when they reduced their stake?
I mean, we noticed that they reduced their stake from 3% to 2.66%, and we communicate regularly with all different shareholders, and that's indeed my answer. It's not the stock answer, it's the real answer.
And actually, they published their quarterly investments. It's a public document that is around.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for some insights as to their decisions and what they're up to, then that's probably a good document to look at.
I suppose what I figured you'd say is, you know, well, what I figure you might be thinking is that, oh, great, they've reduced their stake. Some of the pressure's off a bit. But
yeah, but it's difficult if we are going to comment of what you think is in our mind. And I want to stay away from speculations, but it is a speculation on a speculation. I would for sure not go in that direction.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's it.
Realms of speculation, then I think it's time to draw the Q&A to a close. Thanks very much for your questions, Feike. Would you like to make a couple of closing remarks before we finish the call?
Yeah, thank you all for calling in this morning. I think Q4 showed encouraging results, good organic growth, both animal and human, as we discussed in the call in our nutrition business, and a good profitability in materials. Overall, 2015, I think solid results, again, both in nutrition and materials. Like we saw in the fourth quarter, sales up, EBITDA up, strong cash generation. And yeah, we stick to our strategy as announced last November at our Capital Markets Days to drive the improvement of our profit and our return on capital employed. And that is what we aim for also in 2016. And to act in line with the targets we have set in November. And with that, I thank you all very much for your time and interest in DSM, and speak to you soon again.
Thank you, Feike. Thank you all. Thank you, operator. Have a very good day. Goodbye.